And Jesus, who left his disciples, yes, who died, rose again, ascended into glory, left them, but did not leave them alone, sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is with his church. The Holy Spirit, true God, equips his church, empowers his church, emboldens his church.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, May 19th, 2024. John 15:26-27.
There's a financial service company that has an interesting way of getting its message out and promoting its services. Maybe you've seen some of their commercials that have aired over the past few years on the Super Bowl. For their spokesperson, they chose a small baby that's barely able to sit up and grab a keyboard mouse and sit in front of a computer screen. And they have the baby speaking words about how you're able to find good financial investment with their services. And of course, the idea is, well, the baby can do it. So can I. I'm going to invest in those financial options. Of course, we know behind that baby is a whole advertising campaign, a professional writer and a professional speaker speaking the voice. And if we were actually going to hear the voice of one of those babies, we'd think, well, why would we ever take financial advice from a company that chooses that sort of a spokesperson? Our God has chosen to get his word out. And the spokespeople he chooses might not be the ones that seem so great, and yet he gives them just what they need. That's what we'll see today as we consider how God gets his message out, how he makes himself known. And yes, our God is far greater than any financial service and any institution. His gifts and what he offers are immense, and his wisdom is far above any advertising campaign or promotional expert. And yet God chooses you. We'll see that as we look at God's word recorded in John 15. Jesus says to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." Now, God has certainly chosen a lot of different ways to get his word out to the world, and we see that, don't we? We see how God chose some appearances in the past, like a burning bush and the vision of fire in that bush. We saw how God, with a storm and then a gentle whisper, appeared to someone like Elijah. And then we see, of course, on the announcement of the birth of his son, the angels fill the sky with glory. And then we also see a man at noonday thrown off his horse because of a blinding light. And yet, those are only, you might say, introductions. Those are only kickoff campaigns to how God wants his word to go out. God appeared in that burning bush to send Moses, reluctant as Moses might be, to be his spokesperson. And God appeared with that gentle whisper to Elijah, who was hiding in fear in a cave. And God sent the lowly shepherds that night when those angels appeared. The shepherds would be the ones who would spread that good news. And he appeared, the Lord himself appeared in blinding light on the road at noon to a man like Paul, who had been an enemy of the church, a man like Paul who did not consider himself wise or persuasive. And yet, what about these disciples? He then says to them, "You will be my witnesses." You might argue, maybe you might say that these disciples were perhaps the cream of the crop, the best of the best, and that's why Jesus chose them. But of course, if you'd read on in the Gospels, you'd see that would be wrong. The disciples, first of all, were men of little account. Many of them were fishermen. One was a despised outcast tax collector. The other one was a political zealot. The majority of them, it seemed, were charged as being unschooled men. Oh, but maybe you might say they had an advantage of all the others because they were with Jesus, right? They had the Lord himself in the flesh. And for 3 years about, Jesus himself taught them. But did that make any difference Were they then somehow more worthy or better spokespeople because of those 3 years of training? Well, we read on after this in John 15, which is that night before Jesus dies. We see what happens, how those disciples were quick to cave in. When they should have stood tall in faith, they would sink. They would often, we see, fall asleep, and the best of them would fall asleep that very night when Jesus needed them. One of them would betray their Lord, and the other one would deny he even knew him while the rest fled. Some spokespeople, you will testify? Betrayal? Denial? Fleeing? That's their testimony? You know, it's not just these disciples, though, who are called to be witnesses of Christ. When he says, you will testify about me, yes, it started with these disciples in the New Testament, but he intends this for all believers, the universal priesthood. All of us are called to be in God's kingdom and to speak of him. How do you feel about that? I am not one who is comfortable speaking. I do not have wise or persuasive words, would say the Apostle Paul. And I would have to say the same. And not many people are comfortable with public speaking. You probably notice quite often it's the back pews that fill up first in many churches. People are not comfortable, even in the most friendly of settings, to speak out. Maybe even in the most comfortable circumstance, to testify and to speak on behalf of others and to speak up God's word. If that's how we fare in the most friendliest of places, how do we do with testifying? How do we measure with our testimony to other places? Maybe even just in the home, we might think, I'm not equipped, I'm not wise enough. How can I speak of divine truths to this household? And then we read, if you look further in John's account here, what Jesus says will happen when you testify. The world will hate you. The devil and the spiritual forces of evil will strive against you. And your own sinful nature is going to say, I know what's going to happen if I speak up and I testify about Jesus. I know it will not be easy. And maybe we look at the apostles and their failures. We recognize ours are not only our shortcomings, our lack of abilities, our fears, but also our sins. Who are we to testify about divine truths, about God, and about Jesus? Really, the world ought to look at us, shouldn't they? As if we are just babbling fools, unfit to speak of divine truths. But what Jesus said to his disciples was not, you could be my witnesses, or you should be my witnesses. Catch what he says. He says, you will be my witnesses. You will testify about me. And then he goes on to describe the hardships and the dangers and everything, but they will testify. And it's the same for you. You were called to be a part of God's kingdom. You were called to be his own. You were given the same thing the disciples were given. And he says to you, you will be my witness. Well, what was the qualification for the disciples? Jesus said there, you have been with me from the beginning. And that was it. That was the qualification. One, they had been called by Jesus to be his own, and they had been called by Jesus to speak his word, and they had been with Jesus. Those are the qualifications. Those are the job description listings for those who testify about Jesus. You have been called to be God's own. You, through his word, through the gospel, you have been with Jesus. You are his witness. And we find Jesus carries out not only the fact that he has called us and made us his witnesses, but he does not leave us lacking what we need. He says, the Holy Spirit, here he's called the advocate or the counselor, I will send him to you. God will give us what we need to speak up his word. God will equip his disciples with his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the Advocate, which is someone who comes along your side, or maybe some translations say counselor, someone who gives you words, someone who guides you. But he's far more than that. He is the person of the triune God, the Lord Almighty. And Jesus, who left his disciples, yes, who died, rose again, ascended into glory, left them, but did not leave them alone, sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is with his church. The Holy Spirit, true God, equips his church, empowers his church, emboldens his church. Jesus did exactly what he had promised. It was there on that Pentecost day when the disciples were gathered, waiting for God to do what he had said. When they heard that loud noise, the rushing of waters it sounded like, and they saw what seemed to be tons of fire coming and appearing, and each one of them was equipped as the Spirit enabled them. And the church grew that day. They spoke up in front of the crowds. These Galileans, this band of men that many would never have thought would be the crowd, would be the one that would spread the gospel. And 3,000 were added that day. They spoke about Christ. When Jesus says, "You will be my witnesses," the job of a believer is not to put on a show, to show their charisma or their gifts or their wisdom. The job of a believer is simply to point to Christ, to witness to him who came to this world for sinners, to the Son of God who gave up his life on the cross, to the Son of God who rose again in glory, to the Son of God who distributes gifts now to his church, and promises forgiveness in his name. You will be his witness. Maybe you hear that and you think, well, what happened on Pentecost, is that really for me? But you will testify. You will be God's witness. In fact, the very fact that you're here today is a testimony. The very fact that you gathered this morning in God's house speaks to those around you, testifies with fellow believers that you hold to this truth. And it speaks to the people around you and your family and those that know you gather in this house. You have testified to the faith. And for those who maybe think that they're not going to be like the apostles speaking before crowds, you testify to the truth in your life. And it doesn't have to be something grand before a crowd. You testify as you pray for others and let them know that you turn to the Lord. You testify as you speak that simple word of conversation to a child, a nephew, a friend, pointing them to the hope we have in Christ. You testify as you sing out. You testify as you support the work of the church to spread the gospel with your offerings and prayers. You testify even as you take that conversation where someone's talking about their fears, about life or death, you just bring up Jesus. You testify as the Spirit enables you. And you don't testify alone. God has chosen you to be his spokesperson. You have been with Jesus. He has called you, and he has given you his Spirit. You have the same faith of all the believers before you, the same baptism, the same Spirit, and the same calling, and the same Lord that you testify about, our risen, victorious Lord. You will be his witnesses in various ways as the Spirit enables you. Certainly God's kingdom is far greater than any financial advisement firm. He offers the free gift of eternal life. He offers the immeasurable, incomprehensible gift of living forever in his kingdom because of his grace. And that gift is shared through you, his spokespeople. At times, maybe the world sees you as just a babbling fool, but you speak through the Spirit and you testify about the Son. You will be his witnesses today and until all at last are joined in glory with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.